from the Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. Start your engines. This is the Chasing Checkers Podcast with Chase McCain on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
That's right. Welcome in, Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app as well. How's it going? Chase McCabe here with you every Friday afternoon on demand. You can download us on iTunes as well. Rate, subscribe, and review. Hear us on the weekends on ESPN 102.5 The Game and also on thegamenashville.com. So hope you're having a wonderful week. It is my favorite race weekend, because it is the night race at the Bristol Motor Speedway. I love this track. It's obviously the home track here in the state of Tennessee, but I absolutely love going to Bristol. I've been several times, always to the night race. I've done campouts. I've done pit passes. I've done all you can do as a race fan. So if you have never gone to the night race at Bristol, I highly recommend it. It is a fantastic spot. So we're going to get into a lot of that, but we have to start with the tough news that came out yesterday as drivers and broadcasters and everybody were getting to Bristol. The plane crash with Dale Earnhardt Jr. and his family. Luckily, everybody is okay. Everyone survived, got out of there. It's being reported that, you know, it was cuts and abrasions. But if you look at the plane, the aftermath, you think the worst. And it just shows you how safe these things are now and how lucky people can truly be. And the good Lord was on the side of Dale Earnhardt Jr., his wife Amy, and their daughter Isla, and the dog, and their dog, and the two pilots. So everyone got out. Everyone is okay. NBC announced that Dale Earnhardt Jr. will take the weekend off. He'll be back next week as a bye week. He'll be back here in a couple of weeks when they go to Darlington. He's supposed to run the Xfinity race as well. So just scary, scary stuff that the plane was landing, had it skidded off the runway, hit a fence, caught fire, and everyone was able to get out. And, of course, the racing world has been reacting to it. Kyle Busch, in his pre-race press conference on Friday, was asked about Dale Earnhardt Jr. in that situation.
Yeah, I mean, it's scary anytime you hear about those things or see those things. And certainly when I heard about it, my pilot actually called me and was like, "Hey, have you heard this or seen this yet?" And I was like, "No." And he explained to me what all happened. And as soon as he said Junior's plane went down, my heart just dropped, you know. So my first thing was like, well, are there any survivors, you know, because you don't know any of the details originally. And then a lot more of the details start coming out and you start hearing things. But it's a scary situation, you know, and, you know, as much as we do travel and things like that, I know Junior's had his pilots for a long, long time. I don't know any of the details past what you guys all know, because I haven't spoken to anybody. So it's just, you know, everybody has procedures and protocol and things like that. And I feel like Cessna and Textron Aviation, those guys do an amazing job. They actually help me manage my aircraft, and I have the exact same plane Dale Jr. has, Citation Latitude, and it's been a fantastic aircraft to get me from point A to point B, and it's always been there for us, and it's done a phenomenal job. So I'm not sure the details as to what happened, if it was whose error or whose accident it was. I don't know. And so my wife right now is in the air flying her way here on the plane, and hopefully everything goes well and everything's normal on that end. You know, there's a lot of airplane flights that happen throughout the days, throughout the years and everything else, and there's a few that have issues, and for as many flights that are successful, it's certainly a tragedy when there's flights that aren't a success. So glad everybody was okay.
Kyle Busch reacting to the Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s plane going down again. Everyone is okay. Quite the scary situation, but thoughts, prayers with his family as they recover. And you know, the thing to consider in all of this is physically, yeah, they're good, but you know, you can only imagine how hard this is, and with a 15-month-old, and you know, everything that Dale's been through with concussions and racing and all of that, and it just, there's a lot of mental mental things that goes into it as well. So just glad that everyone is okay. So Dale Earnhardt Jr. out of the booth this weekend at Bristol. He'll be back in Darlington here in a couple weeks. So now we get into the racing. And last week at Michigan, Kevin Harvick finds victory lane once again. And if you remember last year when he won at Michigan, he had a co-pilot with him during the victory lap. And that's his son, Keelan. Young Keelan goes for a ride again. They did the burnouts, and then NBC's Marty Snyder, I'm sorry, caught up with Kevin Harvick and Keelan Harvick after the race.
That's way better than the burnout, isn't it?
That's way better than the burnout. You know, I think the coolest thing is, you know, we've spent the last couple summers together. He wants to go get the flag.
Okay, we'll let him do that. He did that in the middle of the interview last year.
Yeah. Yeah, he told me before the race, he's like, if I win today, I can get in the car again, right? I'm like, well, I guess so. So, yeah, it's just got to thank all the fans. You guys have been great to us, you know, to come here with Mobil 1 and everybody from Ford and Hunt Brothers and Jimmy Johns and everybody who's helped us. Come on over, bud. I'm tired.
I'm not sure who they're cheering on more, you or Keelan, to go get the flag. What about it, fans?
Yeah, well, they should cheer for him. Just got to thank everybody from Fields and Haas. Who else we got to thank, Key?
Hunt Brothers.
Hunt
Brothers. Mobil 1.
Jimmy Johns.
Bush. Haas. Everybody at the shop. Everybody. It takes a lot of people to make these cars go around, and winning races is what it's all about. And just can't do it without all you guys. I mean, to come here to Michigan and win for Ford, and I know how much Mobil 1 likes to beat that shell car, so that makes it cool.
Keelan, how was the ride with Dad?
It was kind of scary at first, then I liked it.
Then you liked it, but did you obey everything he said? Did you keep your fingers in your ear and all that?
Yep.
Was the burnout scary?
That's okay. Yep. We're going to do another one.
Kevin Harvick and his young son, Keelan. It's my favorite part of the sport, of just how it's a family sport, and you see it a lot. You see Keelan at the track and other kids, Brexton, Kyle, and Samantha Bush's son. He's at the track a lot, and just it's a fun part of it. But you hear what I wanted to point out with Kevin Harvick is just how tired he was. And this is a 2-mile track. This isn't a road course, but it shows you with the way these cars are set up now. You have to drive these things. These drivers are tired. They're using a lot of energy to drive these. It's not like it used to be. So it is. It's tough on these guys and their bodies as they, you know, try and power through and win these races. And it's endurance gets tested for sure nowadays, more so than it used to. I mean, it's almost like the old school days of how it used to be. And then, so you know, with this new setup, this new package, they're having to really drive these race cars. So you heard it. Kevin Harvick was pretty exhausted after finishing, but an exciting race nonetheless. Denny Hamlin continues his strong run, coming home second. Kyle Larson third. Martin Truex Jr. fourth. Daniel Suarez is building some momentum as well, as he's trying to get in. We'll look at the standings in a second. He's trying to get into the playoffs. Kyle Busch comes home sixth. Ryan Preece with a strong finish, seventh. William Byron, eighth. Chase Elliott, ninth. And Alex Bowman rounds out the top 10. So, and we'll actually, you know, as that playoff battle continues, Clint Bowyer is going to join the show a little bit later on. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. is going to join the show a little bit later on as well. But it's getting tight there in the standings as we wrap up with just 3 races left before we get to the playoffs. You go down and look at the standings right now. Clint Bowyer is sitting 16th, but he's got a 6-point lead over Daniel Suarez for the cutoff spot, or to be out of the playoffs altogether. Jimmy Johnson, he's about 15 or so points of being to the good. Ryan Newman is in 15th, just ahead of Clint Bowyer, with a 10-point cushion. And then it gets a little better when you get to Eric Jones at 14th. But it's going to come down to the last week for some of these guys to even make the playoffs. It's just that tight right now. And that's what's so exciting. That's why NASCAR created this format. That's why we watch, because you want to see as it comes down to the final races. And, you know, you look at the winners. So Kyle Busch, Joey Logano, Kevin Harvick, Denny Hamlin, Martin Truex Jr., Brad Keselowski, Chase Elliott, Kurt Busch, Alex Bowman. They're fine because they're in on wins. The best person in points right now is Ryan Blaney, in ninth on points, does not have a win yet. Then Eric Almirola, William Byron, Kyle Larson, Eric Jones, Ryan Newman, Clint Bowyer would be your playoff drivers right now. So it's gonna get tighter. And look, Saturday night under the lights at Bristol, you kidding me? You know there's gonna be checkers or wreckers mentality from a lot of these drivers. So that'll be fun to watch. We will talk to Ricky Stenhouse Jr. and Clint Bowyer coming up here in just a little bit and get their thoughts on Bristol. But also, as it's been a big news week, silly season has begun in NASCAR. A couple of drivers have announced that they're going to be making some changes. And the first is David Ragan, who is going to be stepping away from full-time competition.
Over the last 6 or 12 months, I've thought a lot about what my future looked like, on the racetrack with my race team and my partners and me as a race car driver, and a lot of what my future looked like as a husband and a father and, a leader of our household. And, over the past couple of months, it was really clear to me that, it was time to take a step back and be home a little bit more. And it's pretty simple as that. In the world of motorsports, to be a premier race car driver, I think you have to dedicate your life to driving that race car and being the best driver for the team. And that means putting racing first in front of everything else, in front of your family, your kids, your hobbies, a lot of things. And so I've enjoyed making that sacrifice over the past 10 or 12 years. And that's a sacrifice that was necessary to stay in the Cup Series as long as I have and to keep a job. And I've had a lot of fun. I've had fun, doing appearances and, traveling to the tracks and testing and being on the simulator and a lot of things that it takes to be a competitive race car driver.
David Ragan making his announcement at Bristol that he would be stepping away from full-time competition in the Cup Series next year. We've seen that trend over the last few years that guys, they're not retiring. They're just stepping away from full-time. Which, if they get bored and want to go run a race car every now and then, they can do it. And David Ragan is going to be another one of those guys. We also learned that Matt DiBenedetto was going to be out at Levine Family Racing after this season, which really stinks because he's been running well lately. He's done a good job for them. I mean, we all remember Daytona and the laps he led there. But they have an agreement with Joe Gibbs Racing to get their race cars and equipment and all of that. And Joe Gibbs is in a predicament because he's all four of his teams are full, but Christopher Bell is ready to move up to the Cup Series. And so the rumor is that Christopher Bell is going to be taking over the 95 car. Eric Jones will remain in the 20, and Christopher Bell will be that unofficial fifth Joe Gibbs car in the 95. So a couple of other drivers that people are watching, Tyler Reddick, Cole Custer, they could be headed to the Cup Series. Tyler Reddick could move into a third Richard Childress Racing car, possibly. Cole Custer, though, where is he going to go? He's in the Stuart Haas umbrella. Clint Bowyer's contract is up at the end of the season, but rumor has it he's close to being good to go and being back with them. So we'll ask him. We'll ask Clint when he comes on here in a little bit. Kurt Busch also was on a one-year deal with Chip Ganassi, but he said back in July when he won that, quote, it would be stupid not to keep this group together. So, silly season has begun. It seems like it's later than usual, but silly season is fully underway in NASCAR, so we will see where some of these free agent drivers end up. Just to kind of run through it, Kurt Busch, his contract is up. So, as I mentioned, Matt DiBenedetto, I really hope somebody signs Matt DiBenedetto because he's done a good job in good equipment. So I would really like to see him get a good shot, even if he has to drop back for a full-time Xfinity ride with a really good team for a season, get some wins under his belt, be competitive, then that could parlay itself into a really good Cup ride here in a season or so. But I really like him, and he's been on the show a few times, so hopefully it all works out for him. So when we come back, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., he is going to join the show. Clint Boyer after that as we get ready for Bristol here on Chasing Checkers on Nashville's Best Sports Talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game on the Game Nashville app as well. Chasen McCabe here with you, and pleased to be joined by the driver of the number 17 Roush Fenway Ford. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. is on with us. Ricky, how's it going?
Going good. How are y'all?
I am doing well, and excited to talk some NASCAR with you. But before we get into that, I was mentioning this off the air, but about a month or two ago, we had the World of Outlaws out at the Fairgrounds Speedway here in Nashville. They turned little quarter mile track into a dirt track. It was the first time that I had witnessed dirt racing. It was so much fun, and I actually had the opportunity to walk through the pits and meet your dad. Tim Duggar introduced me to your dad and saw your team there. But I know you just spent the week in Knoxville and before you went to Michigan. But dirt racing, that's in your blood, man, right?
It is. I was bummed that we couldn't make it to Nashville, but it looked like a lot of the fans turned out and looked like a pretty cool show. Hopefully they can continue to do that, but make the track a little bit better and more races for the fans and the drivers. But for the first show, I thought they did a pretty good job. And yeah, I grew up dirt racing and never really thought about making it to NASCAR. Just things worked out and I ended up here. So I thought I was gonna race, you know, sprint cars for a living my whole life, but now I get to race on Sundays in the Cup car, and you know, it's a lot of fun. It's frustrating at times because you aren't as fast as you want to be in every race, but you know, I think that's part of it as well, is just trying to work together as a team to continue to get better.
I know the cars are completely different, and obviously you're racing on dirt as compared to asphalt, but what aspects of dirt racing can a driver take that they can apply as they move up the ranks through NASCAR?
Well, a lot of dirt track racing, you're always changing your lines up. You run the bottom, you run the top, you know, you run through the middle. The track's always changing as well with the dirt flying off of it. So when you get to stock cars and get to NASCAR, you know, especially now that, you know, the tracks are, you know, using different compounds of spray to, you know, make grip, you know, normally where there isn't. You know, we were this past weekend searching around in Michigan, you know, using the very top of the racetrack, you know, higher than we have in the last 5 years. And, you know, so just searching around, I think, is good, and then car control as well. You know, the dirt track, the cars are sliding sideways and going all over the place. So being able to control that, and I feel like going into Bristol, dirt racers love Bristol. And for whatever reason, it just kind of feels like a dirt track. So I'm looking forward to getting there.
You mentioned the compound that they put on the track, the PJ1, and as you said, they added more at Michigan. We know it'll be a thing at Bristol. With the combination of the PJ1 and then this rules package that you guys are running, is that all coming together to give us the type of racing that we've seen this year, which is unpredictable at times, but you guys are able to stay side by side?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the package, obviously, on the mile and a half racetrack, it's coming together. You know, we're still not as close as we want to be at places like Michigan, like we were this past weekend. Still a little bit hard to pass. But, you know, for the most part, we're all just, you know, trying to make the cars closer together and better pass them and put on a better show for the fans. And so the PJ1 compound that they're putting on the racetrack is definitely helping. You know, we got to strategically place it in certain places. You know, they put it around the bottom at Bristol. Really helps on restart. It helps to complete passes on the bottom, with the top being the preferred groove. And you know, for me, I was skeptical about using it at Bristol because I really like running the top side of the racetrack. And so I was bummed when they put it on the bottom. I thought we were just going to run the bottom only, but it's kind of cool. It builds rubber up and sometimes gets slick. And so you always got to chase your line around. And I feel like that's where that dirt track background comes into play, that, you know, you're always searching for the best line. And you know, you could run the bottom for four laps in a row, and the fifth lap, all of a sudden, isn't the best line around there. And then you start moving up the racetrack. And so it's pretty fun.
Ricky Stenhouse Jr. here with us on Chasing Checkers. So you brought up Michigan, and I know this weekend didn't go the way that you had planned. I saw you had a little bit of an issue there, but where are you guys right now? As you sit 21st in points, trying to make the playoffs, I know that it's you and Ryan Newman have been working well together and trying to get things going there at Roush Fenway, but where do you see yourself in this season so far as you try and figure out all these things with the new package?
I would sum up our season. We blew a left rear tire this weekend in Michigan after we had some contact. A car ran into us on a restart. Our tolerances are so close. The fenders are so close to the tires. It doesn't take a whole lot for you to get a tire rub. But, you know, for our season, I would sum it up as blown tires. We've had some really fast cars at times and contended, you know, up front at a lot of the mile-and-a-half racetracks, and, you know, which, you know, last year and the year before, I feel like we really struggled at. But we've had, I think, four or five races where we've blown tires, and that's really kind of killed our point situation. But I feel like we've brought faster race cars to the track this year than we have in the last couple of years. So still trying to look at the positive things, which is, you know, we're bringing faster cars to the racetrack. Now we just got to, you know, figure out how to make sure we capitalize on that and continue to get good finishes. You know, as far as our playoff hopes go, Bristol this weekend, I think, is by far our best chance. And, you know, when you race at, you know, Saturday night at Bristol under the lights, anything can happen. It's always been a great racetrack for us. And we finished second there a handful of times, so we're ready to go finish one spot better and make the playoffs that way.
Well, that was going to lead me into my next question, because I know historically you've been pretty good at Bristol. You mentioned the dirt racing background and how that can kind of apply. So you would say that over the course of the next three races, as we have until the cutoff, that Bristol is going to be your best shot to try and win one of these things, huh?
I definitely think Bristol's our best shot. You know, obviously we've you know, won on super speedways, and I feel like we have a really good package there. But by far, Bristol is, you know, my best racetrack, and also the one that I enjoy the most. And, you know, I think you walk in there, and I feel confident. You know, no matter the season, if we've been struggling or if we've been happy with our cars, we seem to always be fast at Bristol. And, you know, so that's what gives you the confidence to go in there and get the job done. The spring race earlier this year, I felt like we had our best practice session. We generally don't get the car very fast in practice for some reason, but always, you know, end up being pretty fast in the race. But in the spring, we were fast and ready to go, and then we got in a wreck on lap two, I believe it was, and then didn't really get to showcase the speed that we had. So looking forward to hopefully bringing that same speed back.
It's funny, Ricky, when you look at this sport and how just a little bit of luck, a little bit of confidence can change your whole season. I mean, I'll use Kevin Harvick as a prime example. He had, you know, had a good season, but he hadn't found victory lane, and now he's won two races here in the last handful. So to right. your point, if you're able to get it done this weekend at Bristol, who knows what that means for moving on into the playoffs? Because, you know, as the system is set, you just need that one win and you're in.
Exactly. I mean, you get one win and then all of a sudden it's like everything starts clicking and, you know, there's a lot of mile and a half racetracks left and we've been strong on those. And, you know, obviously we're taking it one week at a time. We got Bristol coming up and winning to get in the playoffs is our priority this weekend. And we'll see how that goes. We'll probably, instead of calling the race for stage points, we'll call the race to set ourselves up for that last run and make sure that we put ourselves in the best position, track position wise, to get the win when it comes down to the end of that race. So, you know, it's different strategies throughout the races when you're trying to win and win only, and stage points don't really matter at this point for us. So, you know, it's going to be a battle, but like you said, I mean, you get one win and all of a sudden you get hot, and you know, that would be really cool for us.
Well, Ricky, best of luck this weekend and the rest of the way. Always enjoy talking to you. And hopefully the next time World of Outlaws comes to Nashville, you'll be able to make it.
Thank you. I appreciate it. That'd be really cool.
And that is Ricky Stenhouse Jr. Appreciate him taking the time to join us this week here on Chasing Checkers. Bristol, my favorite. It's my favorite track, Bristol Motor Speedway. And look, you heard it in that interview. Ricky's pretty good on the short tracks. They have a chance to turn things around. Another guy that's looking to turn things around and to have some luck, because he's had a lot of bad luck lately, is Clint Bowyer, and he's going to join the show next. The driver of the number 14 Stuart Haas Racing Ford, he is on the On Deck Circle here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
We are back on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app as well, and Chase McCabe hanging out with you. I am excited to have our next guest. He's been on the show a few times already. Clint Bowyer, the driver of the number 14 Stuart Haas Racing Ford. Clint, how's Bristol? How's my favorite track doing?
Bristol's the best racetrack ever. You couldn't mess Bristol up. If you tried to, you couldn't mess it up. This place is awesome. It's awesome every time you come here, and there's only one time it's more awesome than the other, and that's just because it's the night race under the lights.
Well, and I know, I was reading a lot of things and watching interviews with you. Last week at Michigan was last week, and there's been some frustrating things that have happened, but I also know in talking to you in the past that Bristol is one of your favorite places, and this is a good place to turn things around, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely, man. If we run the way we have the last few times we've been here with this 14 car, Mike and all the guys, we knock on the door, man. We've been so close, to getting in victory lane. And this place, this is one of the crown jewels. This is one of the big daddies that you want to win. Obviously, Daytona 500. No, nothing replaces the Daytona 500 victory, but shortly thereafter, if you ask a racer where they want to win more than anything, it's because it's Bristol, and it's because of the difficulty in the racetrack and what you have to overcome and how hard you have to drive to be able to be up front and be in position and in contention to win. Nothing like this racetrack, and I've never been on one any like this and probably never will. I really do believe that if we had four or five of these across the country, our sport would be better off.
I'm with you there, man. I love short track racing. How much has I talked to Ricky Stenhouse Jr. earlier in the week. How much has the PJ1 and the compound that they put on the track changed things, not only at Bristol, but at the other places that you guys use it?
It definitely changed things a lot. When we first started using it, it was kind of up in the air. We've learned a lot about it, just like everything. It's evolved and learned from your mistakes. And man, this year it really has brought a lot to table on a lot of racetracks. I look at Kentucky. Kentucky was always a difficult sell, man. Fan base is awesome. You couldn't ask for a better area, a better market, a better venue to have a race. And we struggled to put on a good side-by-side show for our fans. They put that PJ1 up high, especially down in 3 and 4, where it's so flat getting into the corner and such a challenging corner. It changed it in a big way. We put on a hell of a show there. Texas, since the repave, that was a struggle down in 1 and 2. Put that, the traction compound on the outside there and just made all the difference in the world. So Bristol, it's amazing. They could put it down on the bottom. They could move it around to the top. You can kind of, you can just manipulate the racing however you want it is basically what you can do with it, and the more we learn, the better we get with it.
Clint Bowyer here with us, and Clint, as you go into Bristol this weekend, sitting 16th in the points, what is your mindset? Do you just have that, hey, I'm going to go out and win this thing, or do you have to points race? How do you go about it?
Win, man. Nah, we're here. You unload off the truck and make that thing as fast as you possibly can. Do the best you can in qualifying, do the best you can in the race. And the best we can do has been close to being a victory. So we need to go out there and execute to our capabilities. That's what we haven't been doing. We've been executing. We just can't finish. We can't put the end on it. We race well, running up front, qualify well, and flat tire at Watkins Glen. I mean, 2 weeks ago, we were 100% exactly where we needed to be for points and everything. The situation we're in, we're doing everything right. Got stage points, got our track position. 48 has trouble. You're fixing to hang 30 points on that, you know, that bubble, that last position. And next thing you know, no more than I see the 48 in my rearview mirror, poof, the right front blows out. I run over something on a racetrack and cut the right front down. I have a flat, go to the back, and wiped out all of our contention to he ended up finishing right behind me by the time they got their car fixed. So you got to have that mode. You got to have things going your way, but you got to put yourself in those situations. You know, last weekend we were doing everything we needed to do for the points, but to be honest with you, we were racing scared. We were not taking the chances that we typically can do. It's kind of like sitting on a blackjack table, man. You get up, you get playing on house money. You play a lot different than you do when you're down and down to your last chip. You know, when it's that close and you're down to your last chip, or either going home or staying on the game, you play defensively, and a lot of times you end up going home anyway. So it's just a difficult situation to be in. But coming to a track that I enjoy, that we're good at, and we're capable of running up front at, it makes me excited to be here in the situation we're in, that's for sure.
How much, Clint, has Kevin's success over the past few weeks? He's got a couple wins now on the season. It's a team sport. I know that you guys on the 14 team are trying to do your thing, but how much has Kevin's success helped the rest of the team as far as confidence and just learning things go?
Well, it's definitely helping us in the sense that it's all fixing to start over, right? As soon as if we can make these playoffs, your new life, you know, a new shot in the arm, and you're back to playing on house money and going for broke again. It's not fun racing the way we are right now, trying to protect our position and points and everything else, but you got to do that. Take care of business to afford yourself to get in those playoffs and be able to be, you know, back to taking those chances and racing the way they are. You know, that's with the setups. That's with just, you know, they're just loose, man. They're taking chances, or taking risks with the setups and everything in between, and that puts them in a situation to be able to go out there and race for wins. You know, it's sad to say, but we can't afford to take those risks right now. You know, at Bristol and things like that, by all means, you go out and race this place and put it on the line, and you know, we're going to have fun tomorrow night. I can promise you that. This is a good track for me, and you know, whether something bad happens or not, I can promise you we will be a force to be reckoned with. We might not get to finish, and whatever the case may be, maybe bad, like, you know, bad luck strikes again, maybe a flat tire would be in the wrong place, wrong time. I don't know, get caught in somebody else's wreck. But I at least know that my guys brought me a fast hot rod, and I'm going to go out there and do my best to put it up front and be solid throughout those long runs, because we all know long runs are very important. And we put ourselves in that position enough. Everything else will take care of itself.
Clint, before I let you go, I do have to ask, how close are you on knowing what you're going to be doing next year? I know I've read some things that it looks like you could be close to re-upping, but how close are we?
Man, I think we're in a good spot. I really do. I believe that. I ain't been worried about it, to be honest with you. I'm worried about getting, you know, things, you know, obviously in the playoffs, but you really don't even worry about that. You got to get established, man. We got to get, you know, communication better, because through communication, we've made some bad decisions and made, you know, collectively made those bad decisions together. And those are the things you can't afford to do when you get into playoffs. Last year, we did make those mistakes. It's a new ball game, man. Strategy, these tires not wearing out one bit, being able to, you know, every now and then you got to take fuel. And if you take fuel, all the fuel, you might as well take four tires. But, you know, being able to take two tires, or, you know, stay out or feel lonely, it's a whole new ballgame. You've got to, you're racing the strategy, you're racing for track position, and not necessarily just making your car fast. You can't just rely on, you know, your natural talents and your capabilities with your race car and stuff like that to just drive back up through them, because it doesn't work. You've got to do a good job of strategy and staying up front, not giving up that track position and putting yourself in position, because if you don't, bad luck can strike.
Well, Clint, best of luck this weekend. I tell you what, this is how it's going to go. You're going to go win that damn thing tomorrow night, and then come on down to Nashville. Come on down to Nashville afterwards, and we'll party. Beer's on me.
Oh, buddy. That is scary all in two senses. First of all, I almost started having the shakes because of how bad it hurts every time I leave Nashville. But you speaking up and saying you're buying all the beer, I got a lot of friends, and if we win this thing, we're all coming, all right?
All right. Sounds like a plan.
You're buying. Everybody
hey.
Heard it.
I know, right? I got you, Clint. I got you. Hey, I appreciate it, bud.
Thanks, bud.
I'm telling you, if I ever had the chance to party with Clint Bowyer, that might do it. That might be the crowning achievement because this guy likes to have a lot of fun. He's easy to pull for. So appreciate Clint Bowyer for joining the show. We'll come back. Get you set for the Bull Ring for Bristol, the night race. All next, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Welcome back in, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chasing Checkers online at thegamenashville.com. Streaming on the app. You can download it on iTunes as well. Rate, subscribe, and review. And, of course, hear it every weekend on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe hanging out with you. Appreciate Ricky Stenhouse Jr. and Clint Bowyer. I'm pretty sure I volunteered to buy him beer if he wins. So if Clint Bowyer wins at Bristol this weekend, I guess I'm going to be out some money because we know that Clint likes to have a good time. He'll come down to Nashville and we'll party. But hey, there are worse things you can do on a weekend. So Clint, if you win, I got you. Bristol, baby, the night race. You heard both drivers mention that compound they put on the track, the PJ1. And I was there when they started using it and the drivers weren't sure yet. And now that with this rules package and they've used it over the past few years, I feel like we're starting to get some of the old type of racing at Bristol. You can pass, but you can be side by side. You can beat and bang a little bit. And, you know, while we, you know, race fans love the wrecks, it's nice that a guy can save the race car and not go spinning into the fence and take out the whole field every time, you know, another driver gets into him. So I do like that. That they've made that type of progress with the PJ1s, but with the PJ1, I should say it. But it's made the racing better. I really like that we're seeing some of the guys that were successful at Bristol back in the day. Kurt Busch being one of those. He's found his form again because the racing is similar to what he used to win on before they resurfaced it. Because as most of you will agree, when they put the new surface down, it took them several years to get the old Bristol back. And the old Bristol was where it was at. And so now that we're kind of back in that, you know, that age again, I love it. I'm really glad to see that. And a guy that's been quite successful at Bristol is Kurt's younger brother, Kyle. And he was asked about his success at Bristol.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what all equates to being good at Bristol here, and especially it's kind of interesting or unique that us two have done a really good job of doing well here over the years. So, you know, a lot of people talk about how you got to attack this track and be aggressive and that sort of stuff, and obviously that's kind of our driving style a little bit, but that's a lot of other drivers' driving styles as well too, and some just seem to adapt to it maybe a little bit better than others. But overall, it's a fun place to race, and you know, it's always a challenge here. Seems like every time we show up, we don't know what track we're showing up to, but we all try to figure it out as we go along.
Well, I'm hoping that there's some consistency. That's what I'm saying, that I'm hoping now with this rules package and what they're doing with the PJ1 that they're showing up to the same track, that you're going to have minor adjustments, but it's going to go back to how it used to be, that okay, Bristol's going to be Bristol. You know what it is. The day race, the night race, they're going to be a little bit different. But otherwise, you pretty much know what you have when you go to Bristol. And Kyle Busch has been so successful there during his time in the Cup Series. I remember, you know, he's swept the weekend. He's won the truck race, the Xfinity race, and the Cup race. So, you know, he's going to be somebody to watch. Definitely going to be someone you got to pay attention to. But you know, Matt DiBenedetto has been fast this weekend. He finds out he's going to be out of a ride, and he's in a Gibbs Toyota. They have had a lot of success as of late, been running well. So, you know, they could possibly be somebody to watch. How cool of a story would that be if Matt DiBenedetto gets it done at the Bristol Motor Speedway? If he's able to go out there and after losing, you know, losing his ride, and he goes and he gets a win. That would be such a fun story, such a NASCAR story. But you look at the cars that have been fast. The Gibbs cars are fast. Denny Hamlin, Martin Truex Jr., Kurt Busch is up there as well. Matt DiBenedetto was also, you know, as I said, running well. Eric Almirola is looking good. Chase Elliott, Kevin Harvick, so Kyle Larson. Some of the names that you would expect, they have been running atop the leaderboard since they unloaded at the Bristol Motor Speedway. And speaking of Kevin Harvick, he wins last week. He got his first win of the season just a couple of weeks ago. The momentum is starting to build for Kevin Harvick, and he spoke on that.
You know, any good momentum, especially from winning, you know, is huge momentum. And, you know, I think for us, you look at last year and probably the best year I've ever had in my career and not winning the championship, you know, there was probably a few things that go into, you know, not winning the championship. But, you know, I think you know, you look at the 22 car and, you know, the momentum they had going into the end of the last 10 races was more important at that particular time of the year than what we had done early in the year. So, you know, it's definitely different. You know, there's two parts to the season. And you know, obviously to win the championship, you want to be hot at the right time. But, you know, winning races also makes the year more tolerable. As you go through the first 26. So you'd love to put it all together. Unfortunately, it never seems like it all comes together. Even the year we won the championship in this format, it didn't really all come together until the end of the year, just because we had so many parts failures and things go wrong and building a team at the beginning of the year. But we had fast cars and were able to put it all together at the end of the year. So we've been on both sides of it, and you know, you never know what each year is going to bring, especially in a year like this when you have a lot of rule changes and a lot of things that are different. You know, and for me, I didn't really enjoy the change in rules and the change in things, and it took me a few months to get over that and realize that, you know, I drive cars for a living and just need to make mine go faster than everybody else's. And you know, I think once we started getting things settled down and getting our cars back to where we needed to be and in the right frame of mind, it was you know, we've got things going in the right direction. So it's been a good few months, really. You know, we've had a chance to win some races that we didn't win as well. So it's been okay.
It's Kevin Harvick on momentum. And I feel like that was the case with a lot of drivers, that they didn't like this package and they wanted to complain and, you know, moan about it. And then once they got over it, then it was like, okay, I'm going to go drive the race car. And, I actually got to speak to Dale Earnhardt Jr. about 2 months ago. Unfortunately it was where we couldn't air it and so something messed up with it, but he said to me that he used to worry about that stuff all the time. And when he got to the point in his career where he just accepted the rules and that NASCAR was making the rules, not him, and just went out and drive the race car, things started going a lot better. And I think you heard that from Kevin Harvick. He just was like, all right, it is what it is. I'm going to go drive a race car. And now all of a sudden he's got a couple wins. He's very much in the playoffs. He's building momentum. His team is building momentum. And, you know, Clint Bowyer was saying that, Ricky Stenhouse was saying that you just get that one win and you never know. It could turn your whole season around. Everything just changes. So I feel like a lot of drivers have gone through that with the rules changes. The rules change. And now that they've accepted it and they're just going out and they're driving and they're doing their job, then, you know, they're just in a better state of mind. So Bristol coming up Saturday night, Denny Hamlin will lead the field from the pole. He's been running well lately, too. Kyle Larson is second. Martin Truex Jr. third. Kurt Busch fourth. Eric Almirola fifth. Chase Elliott sixth. Matt DiBenedetto seventh. Kevin Harvick eighth. Eric Jones ninth. Alex Bowman rounds out the top 10. So that is the qualifying order. Of course, you look and you see a lot of Toyotas and Chevys. At the top of the field, Ford mixed in the top 10 as well with Almirola and Harvick. But those Gibbs Toyotas seem to have unloaded and been pretty fast as they go into Bristol. Matt DiBenedetto, though, that's one you need to pay attention to. A lot of momentum for him simply in that he needs to perform. So it's a lot of pressure, and he can go out there with a little reckless abandon and checkers or wreckers, baby, as they say. And try and get himself in that team a win. That is going to do it for another edition of Chasing Checkers. Again, if you miss any of the previous episodes, we have a ton of drivers and racing personalities on. Just go to iTunes, rate, subscribe, and review. Search for Chasing Checkers. You'll get a new episode every Friday afternoon. You can also hear us on Saturday mornings right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And as always, check us out at thegamenashville.com. My name is Chase McCabe. Follow me on Twitter at ChaseOnGame. You can also hear me Monday through Friday on Darren Donick and Chase from 10 to 2 here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope you have a great weekend. Enjoy racing from Bristol. Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game.